Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
WEEI Sports Radio Network. You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I remember we had a play against Denver where we're in overtime, and I kind of had like, we call it a Ram type route or whatever. The Rams kind of ran up quite a bit, but the safety dove, and I was trying to score on the play, so I took it more vertical because the safety wasn't there, and Tom threw it and it hit me in the back of my foot, and he just yelled at me. I'm like, I'm trying to end the game. And, like, I had to go sit on the other side. Like, I was like, I can't take this right now. And so, anyways, then we come back the next day. And he's like, okay, babe, what I was thinking on this? And I'm like, you're calling me babe now? Like I want to fight you. Like, you know, so, you know, we had plenty of those instances of, you know, us being on the same page. You know, I still feel like I was right on the play. You know, I guarantee he probably still feels that he was right.
No, that was awesome. Wes Welker earlier on the week on WEI as part of Brady Week. Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you for the next 3 hours or so. The number is 617-779-7937. That was pretty cool. Wes Welker. He's just like, yeah, I still think I was right on that play, even years later.
That's what I want. I want that kind of attitude off my or from my offensive stars. From, you know, I want a confident lawyer to defend me. I want an arrogant surgeon to perform my surgery. I want a cocky airline pilot to make sure I go from A to B. And I want my guys on the field to always think that they're right. And that's what made that relationship, the Brady Welker relationship. Don't forget, before we had Brady to Gronk, before we fell in love with Brady to Bubs, Brady to Welker, even in the days, Barrett, of Brady to Moss, was really something special. I mean, he was good with Brown, he was great with Branch, but Brady to Welker was what you tuned in for 6 years, and he was great about everything related to Brady, his relationship with Belichick. It was such an awesome interview to be a part of.
Yeah, and I saw you had the tweet the other day where basically you did the time that Welker was in New England and he had the most receptions over that time period in the entire NFL.
Here's how much people sleep on Wes Welker or choose to selectively remember him as the guy that didn't catch that ball in Super Bowl 46. And as a follower on Twitter, pointed out afterwards, like, yeah, but Brady also missed Branch on 3rd and 11 right after he actually put that ball on Welker's hands. So everyone can have their slice of blame pie if you want to for Super Bowl 46. It sucks that people remember Welker only just for that one play in Super Bowl 46. In the 6 years he was here, after he kind of tore up the Pats in all those games, and Ben Belichick said, damn, this guy's getting me. I got to go get this guy. And he sends a second round pick for him. Welker led the NFL in completion percentage, targets, receptions, and yardage over like a bunch of receivers that are either in the Hall of Fame, going to the Hall of Fame, or were mainstays on your fantasy team.
Right, like Larry Fitzgerald, Andre Johnson, Megatron, all those guys at that particular point in time. And that's one of the guys. There's only really two of them that I can think of, and Moss is included in this as well, but Welker was more of the team guy for the majority of his career, and obviously the time ran out with Moss earlier than it did with Welker because Moss started to act up and it didn't go well.
He wanted another contract. He saw the way the offense was going with the two tight ends in 2010.
So he was pissed off about that. But with Welker, the two guys that I think of that were here for an extended period of time, it's Welker and Logan Mankins, who were here for so long and they didn't get the Super Bowl. Those are the two guys to me that stick out the most, where I'm like, Welker deserved a Super Bowl trophy, because without Welker, does Edelman get to this level of what Edelman is now? Because I understand that there was Troy Brown before Welker, but Welker took it to a completely different level in terms of how they use the slot receiver.
Correct.
And then Edelman benefited being behind him and learning from what he was doing. And then we've seen what Edelman has done here. And Edelman has become a hero in this town because of the Super Bowl MVP, the big catch against Atlanta. And Welker, as you remember, or as you pointed out, which is unfortunate for him, we remember him as the guy that dropped the ball against the Giants. And that is not who he was for so many years.
No, it wasn't. He was going to be Super Bowl 42 MVP if the Patriots defense held up on the famous Tyree helmet catch drive. He had a great game. And one of the regrets that Belichick and McDaniel said they had in Super Bowl 42 was not realizing that Welker was uncoverable and that they could have gotten to him underneath all day long, just the same way that they regretted taking Nick Foles and the Philadelphia offense for granted 10 years later in Super Bowl 52. One of the jaw-droppers of this double dynasty that we've been able to live through, from your childhood to your adulthood and from the beginning of what resembles my overgrown man-child adulthood to now, is the fact that in these 20 years, dude, there was a bunch of Super Bowls and then a 10-year stretch where they went to them, they lost them, a lot of AFC championships. They started becoming the bridesmaid, never the bride. And then they started winning them again, with the incredible comeback in Super Bowl 49, in which Edelman played a huge part. In that time, like you said, there are a bunch of legends. There are a bunch of all-time Patriots who don't have Super Bowl rings. Like you said, Logan Mankins doesn't have a ring. Randy Moss obviously didn't get one. And the fact that Wes Welker, when Edelman has three and Deion Branch has a couple, and Wes Welker doesn't have a ring, it just makes me think that people take him for granted. That was the offense. I mean, Randy Moss had an incredible 2007, but Welker showed up, got lit up, and went after every clutch catch and was open for Tom on any given play.
Yeah, one thing I will say in defense of Bill Belichick is when he let Welker go, it's another guy that proved he was right about. Because he goes to Denver and he has a decent first year there with Peyton Manning, but after that he kind of fell off. And not that you could predict the concussions, but you could predict that that's a smaller receiver that had taken a lot of hits over the year. So Belichick, that's another guy that he was a year ahead of, rather than being a year too late on by letting Wes Welker walk. He was upset about the contract and he wanted more money. He ends up with Denver, and then of course Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders after that. Peyton gets his ring, but Wes Welker is really never the same guy that he was here in New England.
Part of that prolific offense when Peyton threw 55 touchdowns, and also part of one of the biggest ass-whippings in Super Bowl history when the Seattle Seahawks just absolutely throttled the Denver Broncos at the Meadowlands, at Jet Life Stadium, as we like to call it, or Meth Life Stadium, as I like to call it.
Yeah, just an embarrassing performance. I remember, like, the opening series for the Denver Broncos, where basically the center threw it over Peyton's head, and after that it was basically like, ah, yeah, this game's over. And then Peyton, like, broke the record before Brady did of, like, most completions in the Super Bowl game, or Demaryius Thomas broke a record. These are the most hollow records of all time.
No, Cam Chancellor broke Demaryius Thomas's soul when he went over the middle, and Cam Chancellor hit him so hard, I think everyone at home grasped their chest. It is unfortunate that people remember Welker that way, but when you said a minute ago that this is another one of those classic Belichick moves, as we look at possibly the riskiest and biggest move Belichick has ever made in letting Tom walk to Tampa Bay, he lets him walk, and it stings that first year, just like I'm pretty damn sure it's going to sting this year because Brady's going to have a huge season if it goes off on time in Tampa. But he knew that he had Edelman in the wings and that Edelman had the benefit of studying under, like, just totally going under the radar for years, watching Welker play his game. And that's like when Rodgers just got to sit for a couple of years and watch Brett Favre do his thing. So he already had his own natural ability, and then he honed his game based around a legend. And then Edelman was able to do the same thing. To your point, that's exactly how Edelman has become the virtually uncoverable three-time Super Bowl champion and local legend that he has.
Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you for the next 3 hours or so. The number is 617-779-7937. Ben Volen's going to join us at about 2 o'clock. We'll get into his article in the Globe this week that the Patriots should trade up for Tua Tagovailoa, or at least they could make an attempt to trade up for him. But just pivoting to something else, and before we move on from the Welker situation, I loved in the NFL Films thing where Bill Belichick was like, oh, look who's going out there to return the punts. It's Edelman. And he's telling Welker, well, you don't want to compete anymore. That was pretty funny to me. And then a couple of years later, it's like, oh, Edelman took your job.
Yeah. And also, don't forget that in that legendary 2013 comeback on Sunday Night Football, I think it was November 2013, when Welker was with Denver, and Denver went up 24-0 on a Sunday night against the Patriots, and the Patriots came all the way back and ultimately won the game in overtime. That's where Belichick made some more of his ballsiest calls ever, because he chose to give the ball to the Broncos first because he didn't think Peyton could throw into the wind, and he was right. And then after the Patriots moved but then didn't score, they punted to Welker, who fumbled the ball, and then the Patriots got the – I mean, like, more times than he's not, Belichick is right. But you don't win big unless you risk big. And obviously that's something Belichick hasn't been afraid to do for, let me see, carry the three over to the 20 years.
Yeah, that was so ballsy. I remember at the time, like, wait, you're giving the ball to Peyton Manning? Because I remember just a couple of years ago in 09, you went for it on 4th-and-2 in your own territory because you were scared to give Peyton Manning, not scared, but you knew if Peyton Manning got the ball back based on what your defense was. So it was amazing to see just kind of the change from 13 to 09, and he turned out to, or whatever year that was, but he turned out to be right because Peyton Manning and didn't end up converting, and they get the ball back. But I want to mention this because obviously big news this week with the Patriots, where the Kraft family. Now, let me just set this up, because we all know what the Kraft family did in terms of going out there to China to get millions of masks. I believe the final number was like 1.2 million. Now, the Globe had it. The Globe had a tweet that said the Kraft family used the Patriots team plan to shuttle 1.7 million N95 masks from China to Boston. Whatever the final number ended up being, it was a significant number.
Did you see the cover of the New York Post today, by the way?
No.
If anyone hasn't seen it yet, I don't know if the station tweeted it out. I tweeted it out about 25 minutes ago at Fitzy GFY. It's a picture of the Patriots 18-wheeler, and it says up top, "We never thought we'd write this, but thank you, Patriots." That's the cover of the New York Post today. It's, wow. I think they should rename that part of the I-95 corridor Patriot Way. Did you see videos yesterday?
Yeah, it was
amazing. The different state troopers escorting it down there. It was just like you got this like just swell of local pride, of national pride. Like the fact that New Yorkers and Mass Holes and New Englanders and Pats fans and Jets fans and Giants fans could all push aside our rivalrous differences for a minute and just be like, ah, damn, that was a great thing they did.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable thing that Robert Kraft and his family did. So that was the tweet from the Globe. The Kraft family used the Patriots team plan to shuttle 1.7 million masks from China to Boston. Jemele Hill, formerly of ESPN, quote tweets this, right?
Should be formerly of all social media.
Yeah, so then I don't even know what she's at right now. But nonetheless, she then writes this. This is where I remind people that Robert Kraft is friends with Donald Trump and gave to his campaign. It is incredible the Kraft family is doing this. But I hope they understand their money helped empower their friend with then the peace sign emoji.
Great. She's with The Atlantic, by the way.
The Atlantic.
And I just canceled my virtual subscription.
This, to me, was just so stunning, even for her, to go to this level and basically make this about who supports Trump and who doesn't support Trump. And to almost put it into the situation where it's like, well, Kraft had to make up for what he did before by supporting Donald Trump in the election years ago. Like, he had to make up for some mistake he made in the past. Like this.
So this is a giant mulligan?
That's what I don't understand. It's like Robert Kraft wrote, and you can say whatever you want, is the Brady-Belichick breakup, whatever, if you want to say that Kraft handled that poorly, which I did, obviously. I thought that he handled that poorly. But in terms of Kraft and stuff that he's done for other people, he has been very generous with his money over the years. There are countless examples, and I can run through them in a second here, of him donating to certain charities, him donating to certain causes. And to basically go after him and make this about everybody else is praising the guy, and you want to make this about Donald Trump and how he supported Donald Trump. To me, that was just so stupid. And the thing that stuck out to me is she was making this about herself, right? Because she doesn't have that platform on ESPN at 6 o'clock every night to basically say whatever she wants.
Oh,
so she goes on Twitter and she has to rile everybody up. And then the problem with this is she's got a lot of followers that believe everything she says is right. So the problem with that is then you have her followers saying stuff along the same lines as Jemele Hill supporting her claim and all this, which is just pure stupidity. And to me, it doesn't help anybody by what she's doing.
No, all she did was try to rein on a feel-good, supportive parade in the middle of a global crisis and national pandemic and economic meltdown when everybody found something that within the world of sports, which is completely dormant right now, could rally around and cheer for. She found a way to try to, as the Brits like to say, take the piss out of it. And I have never seen a more unified reply front in my life. Everybody who added her, whether they voted for Trump, Hillary, whether they want to vote for Trump or Biden now, it didn't matter what side of the aisle they sat on. Everybody said, really? This is what you're going to do? This is the best... Now is when you want to politicize this. Now is when you want to, you still have an axe to grind and you have a grudge to bear over something like this. You can't just appreciate this for what it is, which is an incredibly necessary and benevolent gesture in a time of crisis. People are going to be talking about, and maybe we can play a little bit of this audio, about what an incredible, it was like a mission. The fact that they had four pilots, they flew over, they had a certain amount of time to get there, they had to shut off tracking of the airplane so no one could follow them or make a bigger deal out of it or get in their way, and then they land and they have to hurry up and get it in there in time to make the return window, and how Governor Baker lost all these masks to bidding or something that happened, or the feds intercepted them, and so he gets in touch with Kraft, and they step in to help Governor Baker out because Massachusetts is slowly reaching its COVID-19 peak. It's just an unbelievable story that maybe somebody will end up making a movie about one day if we get through this on the other side and it's something that we want to watch or a tale that we want to tell. But please, everyone, with your take your agendas and slowly tuck them away with all of your winter clothes as the sun starts to peek its head.
And for her to basically make it out to be like, well, you know, this is a great gesture, and I'm saying it's a great gesture, but he did support Donald Trump. That to me is just a joke. Even people that heavily dislike the president have to acknowledge the fact this is an unbelievable thing by Robert Kraft, and it wasn't out of character. I mean, I go through some of the things. He donated $20 million to Partners Healthcare to launch the Kraft Family Center for Leadership and Training in Community Health, which is basically an initiative designed to improve access to quality healthcare at community health centers throughout New England. Like, he does this stuff
Can you hit that figure one more time?
$20
million. $20 million.
$20 million. Okay, this is his own money that he's donating. So whether or not he likes Donald Trump, we can acknowledge the fact that he's been generous with his money throughout the years. That's just one example of a million you can go through. He gave north of $11 million to Columbia to build a student activity center there. So he's done this throughout basically his whole entire time as the Patriots owner. He's been very generous with his money. So to bring up his political affiliation and all this is an absolute joke. In a time of crisis, he was trying to help out the country, and this is how you react. And oh, by the way, I thought somebody pointed this out on Twitter. So somebody tweeted back at Jemele Hill, "Hi, Jemele. What have you contributed to the cause? I would like to thank you if you have." She tweets back, quote, "I've done my share and I do not feel the need to broadcast it." Okay. So you've donated so much money that you don't want to put it out there on Twitter.
Thank you, Jemele. Thank you so much for donating to the cause and for doing what you've done. Did Robert Kraft choose to broadcast this? Did he make a public spectacle of this? No, the man went into his pocket. I can't even imagine what it costs to get the clearance for, not, forget about the fact that he owns two aircraft, air with a K, that he flies it, that he fuels it himself, flies it to and from China, pays these pilots, goes through all the regulatory issues, I'm sure, that come with having to get people at the airports, getting clearance. Oh, and then, by the way, buys 1.7 million N95 masks, which are like gold at this point, which are just damn near impossible to get. But hey, let's make sure we put out a tweet to try to submarine the benevolent and generous gesture by the owner of the Patriots, who happens to be friends with somebody who he thought would be a good president and has had issue with. It's just, for someone, I didn't vote for Trump. Not necessarily my favorite thing. I'm not looking to politicize this afternoon show.
Right.
But I couldn't be more proud of the effort undertaken by the man who saved my favorite football team.
Wait, even if he likes Donald Trump?
Yeah.
You're still proud of what he did?
You know what I can do? I can look past it, Barrett.
Wow.
I know.
That's amazing.
It's called being a human.
Yeah.
It's called being a good person.
Well, and here's the other thing, Fitzy, and Jemele Hill kind of points this out on Twitter when she makes idiotic comments like this. It feels like, to me, the unfortunate part of all this is obviously we have this pandemic going on, and it feels like there's a certain amount of people out there that are almost, I don't want to say rooting for the coronavirus, but what they're doing is basically they're making this so damn political in a time of crisis. Like, we have a pandemic going on in the country, and you have people all over the place that all they want to do is make this a political thing and go after certain things that the administration has done and whatnot. And it got to the point where on Twitter, Jemele Hill, who a lot of people know, and she has over a million Twitter followers, is going after somebody because he supported the president, even though he's doing something to help the pandemic. Like, it feels like what's happening here is people are going to use this against President Trump and the reelection in terms of ammunition to go after him, and whatever, if you're going to do that down the road. But for right now, for you to go after somebody like Robert Kraft because he is friends with the president to basically show, well, we shouldn't give him too much credit because he supported President Trump.
Right. Don't forget, he got us in this mess. So this is just his way of helping dig us out.
That's what annoys me about this whole thing, is it's very difficult right now. And really, I believe you're getting more valid information from your local news than you get from your national news. Because nationally, everybody's got an agenda one side or the other, whether it's Fox, whether it's MSNBC, whether it's CNN. And that's one of the problems I think we're having right now with this whole situation is everybody has their certain prerogative here in what they want to make of the coronavirus rather than just everybody getting on the same page and dealing with the pandemic that we have in the country.
I recently cut the cord because cable bills became so expensive, and obviously now in the face of everyone needing to, you know, take a pinch or losing a buck or being glad that they have an opportunity to generate some income, I cut the cord, figured out a way to save some money, and I got one of those little $15 digital antennas just because I wanted to make sure I got all the local channels in. And it was mostly just like a safeguard. And it's funny you mentioned this, Barrett, because in the face of, you know, like, sorry, ESPN, but watching SportsCenter is pretty sad these days. It's like watching ESPN Classic with fancy graphics.
Yeah.
So a lot of the stuff that I used to love to watch, I don't want to. And then I find myself just getting so enormously frustrated when I watch these national cable shows. So to me, and this backs up your point, watching the local news, getting the perspective on who's working so hard, the special interest stories, seeing the profiles of courage that your nurses, your doctors, people that are just like, this random person decided to stop by this pizza parlor and spent $250 and said, send those pizzas to, I don't know, I forget what it was, like the Framingham Police Department or something. Like, these are the stories that make people feel good. Is the Jemele Hill of Framingham or someplace else going to come in and be like, well, that's nice, but this person at the pizza parlor, like Donald Trump, like, get out of here with that. Just please don't bias this. Don't politicize this. Just everybody needs to, like, we're all in the same boat. Everyone grab an oar.
Yeah. Well,
who cares what side of the boat? Just grab an oar.
Well, and the other thing is, what I would say finally about that, just to kind of put a bow on the Jemele Hill conversation, is what did you seek to accomplish? What you were trying to do was out of pure selfishness. All you wanted out of that particular tweet was attention on yourself. That's all you wanted. All you wanted was attention on yourself. And we have celebrities all over the country, athletes all over the country that are donating to the cause, like Robert Kraft did. You have people actually trying to contribute. And all you wanted to do was to create more controversy. To me, you're not helping anybody. But by the way, as you mentioned, like everything going on with the coronavirus, I'm going nuts right now. And I know there's people all over the country that are and all over the world dealing with serious cases of this and whatnot. But it is tough without sports. Like, what, as you mentioned, SportsCenter, they're going through like, hey, this is Steph Curry's top 10 plays of his NBA career. The thing that I've had the most fun with in terms of sports, like last night they had the NBA 2K where players were playing each other. That's what was on ESPN last night. I watched like two.
Probably a great watch.
Yeah, I watched like 2 seconds of it. I'm like, yeah, I really can't do this. But the one thing I really have enjoyed is NBA TV. When they play the recent games, I'm like, I don't want to watch that, right? But they play the old-school All-Star games, and these old-school All-Star games, wow, that was tough to say, are really fun to watch.
They're amazing.
There was an 0-1 game where both Pierce and Antoine Walker win it, and they were mad at Isaiah Thomas because he wasn't playing him that much in the game. And at halftime, they had a report. They went to the sidelines. They said, yeah, Antoine and Paul Pierce don't know why they weren't playing. They said you'd have to ask Isaiah. So it's pretty fun. But that I've enjoyed that. But the most recent games, I'm like, I just saw this game like 3 months ago. Don't put on the games from this year. Put on like the 80 Celtics, Game 7. Celtics-Lakers from 84 was on the other day. I have enjoyed watching that.
About a lot of guys your age probably haven't had a chance to watch the Celtics Sixers in the 80s. Put on some like back before Bird and Jordan had their matchups, and you know Michael Jordan's first 60-plus point game was in the playoffs against the Celtics in the mid-80s. There was nothing like Dr. J against Larry Bird. Holy smokes! I'm hoping that one of the positives, because you know, at a time like this, all you can hope to do is make shandies, if not lemonade, when you're given the big bucket of rotten lemons, dude. I'm hoping that maybe this will give your generation and maybe some folks a little bit older and a little bit younger a chance to watch a lot of the games and focus on and learn about some of the stars that we grew up with or that we were so enamored of, so that like we'll have an enthralled and educated fan base now that's really going to have an appreciation of life before MJ, life before Kobe, and life before Brady and Manning.
Yeah, well, here's my hot take on it is 80s basketball is fun to watch, obviously, with the Showtime, Lakers, and the Celtics.
And the Bad Boys in the Motor City.
You mentioned the Bad Boys. You mentioned the 76ers. The Bucks had a pretty good couple of teams there as well. Portland had a couple of nice teams.
Supersonics, back in the Jack Sigma days.
Yeah, Jack Sigma. Okay, there's a name. But then when you get to the 90s, outside of, like, Jordan, the brand is not that fun to watch. You got, like, a million big guys on the court. The ball's not moving. Nobody's outside the three-point line. At least with the Celtics and the Lakers, like, Bird moved the ball, Magic moved the ball. Those teams are fun to watch. 90s basketball, I'm sorry to tell everybody, it wasn't that good.
There were four teams.
Jordan was great.
There were four teams worth watching. The Knicks, the Bulls, the Rockets, and the Trailblazers. Those are about the only teams that were worth watching.
But even to your Knicks point, like, their style wasn't fun. Their style was not fun. It was just a bunch of big guys clogging up the paint. All right, the number is 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you for the next 3 hours or so. Ben Volen from The Globe is going to join us at about 2 o'clock, and he had an article up this week about the Patriots possibly moving up to get Tua Tagovailoa. We'll get to that with Ben at 2 o'clock, and we'll get you trending in just a second here.
Drive home with OMF, weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. President Trump had a conference call with all the major sports commissioners today to address issues surrounding the coronavirus pandemic. The call's still going on. It started at noon. Press briefing is scheduled for 3:30.
Yes, I just wanted to let you know, he tweeted out that he will be holding a news conference at 3:30 at the White House. Also added a thank you. Thank you. we'll probably learn a lot. Maybe there's a chance we can actually take some of that live in the last half of the show, because I have a feeling we're going to learn an awful lot if he spoke with all the commissioners plus Dana White as to whether or not they're going to be able to get in any playoffs, or when we may see some semblance of normalcy or resumption, with your major sports.
Yeah, my prediction is they won't say anything about canceling seasons yet because they want to project optimism on the country, but that's just one man's opinion. By the way, ESPN's Brian Windhorst reports the NBA is angling towards shutting down the remainder of the season, so maybe it's not going to be so good. Former Patriots receiver Antonio Brown, for one game, of course, has been charged in connection with that January incident. A delivery truck driver alleged Brown and his trainer assaulted him outside of Brown's South Florida home. Brown has officially been charged with burglary conveyance, misdemeanor battery, and misdemeanor criminal mischief.
And Bruce Arians doesn't want him to come to Tampa because...
I don't know why. He's been basically a Boy Scout off the field.
Eamon, can you reach out to Warm Weather Tom and see how he feels about that? Thanks.
I'll get right on that.
And oh, by the way, how about this? Former Celtic Kevin Garnett, part of the 2020 Hall of Fame class. No surprise. Garnett, 15-time All-Star, helped lead the Seas to the title in 08, of course. He was also named the Defensive Player of the Year in that season. The late, great Kobe Bryant and Tim Duncan, also part of that class.
If you look, anything possible!
Never doesn't give me the garden tingles. Makes me psyched every time I hear that.
I love that guy, and I can make a convincing argument. He's the most important Celtic since Larry Bird. But nonetheless, getting back to the original point.
Bring that take to our discussion later based off my EEI article about most underappreciated Boston sports legends.
We certainly could. The one other thing I would say to this is I was looking through the Hall of Fame classes. This may be the greatest Hall of Fame class of all time. Garnett, Kobe, and Tim Duncan.
You just mentioned three of the 50 best basketball players of all time. I mean,
two top 10.
Tim Duncan is... Yeah, Kobe and Tim Duncan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here for that.
I would say Duncan's a top 10 guy. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
So
So when we landed, I think we do have a little bit of video that somebody took on the ground in China and got to our people that I assume will get out there, because it's pretty cool to see the plane arrive and all these airport workers in like hazmat suits around it. And the plane arrived, and then it was like a NASCAR pit stop in terms of what happened. And fortunately, we didn't have any mechanical issues. We got it done with about 3 or 4 minutes to spare and got back in the air for what was about a 9-hour flight back. So all in all, that was 24 hours nonstop with 4 pilots in the air, never essentially really leaving the cockpit area of the plane. And what they did was great, and they landed back in Alaska, I guess, on Wednesday at around noon our time, if I'm putting it to.
All right, that was Jonathan Kraft on everything that went in to getting the masks back here to the United States. And I believe they only had, 3 hours they could be in China for?
Yeah.
To load everything up?
I believe that's correct.
Incredible. And by the way,
they got out within 3 to 4 minutes to spare. I mean, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like, this is like a Zero Dark 30 kind of mission. Or this is like the kind of thing that's, it almost sounds like a work of fiction.
And not to sound like a Patriots honk, but it is pretty cool to see it, like, with the Patriots playing. Like,
yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Come on, the 18-wheeler rolling down the highway with the...
Yeah.
If anyone out there has not watched those videos that are online yesterday of the state police escorts, like Massachusetts passing them off to Rhode Island to Connecticut, like basically handing off the baton as they rush this important equipment down to New York, gives you goosebumps.
Oh, and by the way, how about this? How about the pilots? They deserve a lot of credit for this.
Yeah.
And like, I know we're talking about the Kraft family, and deservingly so, but he mentioned in that basically you had 4 pilots that didn't leave the cockpit for the entire time. So they're in there basically for a whole day, and basically I would assume switching off and whatnot. But that's pretty incredible that they were able to do that. The number is 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you for the next 2.5 hours or so. Ben Volen from the Boston Globe is going to join us at about 2 o'clock to get into his article this week about the Patriots and the possibility of trading up for Tua Tagovailoa. Let's go to the phones. We'll check in with Ed. Ed is on the Cape. What's going on, Ed?
Hey, so after Miss Hill says she's done her share for Corona, she says she knows billionaires would prefer charitable giving to challenging system of inequality and inequity. She contradicts her entire statement because Bob Kraft was the only billionaire fighting for rapper Meek Mill, who was jailed unfairly by a broken judicial system. So she has an issue when Kraft supports a white millionaire in Trump, but it's okay to support a black rapper, millionaire rapper. But let's not give Kraft any credit for that, because it doesn't fit her agenda.
Yeah, it's a joke, Ed. Jemele Hill, it's ridiculous. To me, the only reason she did this was to get attention for herself. I don't know what she thought she was doing, unless she thought, oh, this is going to increase my profile more. I don't know what she got out of this.
Yeah, I mean, he was the only one that supported him. No one else helped Meek Mill out, and it's like, he forgets all about that.
Yeah, Ed, have you seen, Air Jacksonville, or, you know, like the Stiller's Express flying any place to bring in necessary supplies, gowns, or anything else? Last I checked, there was one very prominent NFL or just major sports owner who was going deep into his very, very deep pockets and putting equipment and people at risk for the benefit of other people in peril and distress right now. So for anyone to say anything in any way, shape, or form critical of Robert Kraft or his company and team's efforts, to me, is just flat out cowardly.
Yep, it's amazing she lasted at ESPN as long as she did, and they get rid of Curt Schilling for next to nothing.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call.
They did a actually ESPN did us all a service. Getting, I mean, I like Michael Smith, but like that ESPN Sports Center, that was rough.
I don't know what it was. Like, they went away from Sports Center, which is like 6 o'clock. That's time to get your sports news. That isn't really an entertainment show. It's more about, okay, here are the highlights, here are the games going on tonight, and they wanted to basically do this whole different type of show, and everybody's used to one thing. It's tough to just completely switch like that, and it just didn't work out for anybody. But I guess now she's getting famous on her tweets that are idiotic, and if that's how you want to be famous and be talked about, congratulations, because you look like an idiot in this whole thing.
That SportsCenter used to like make me uncomfortable. as in, hey, I just want to get the sports news at 6 o'clock. If I wanted the real news, I'd go watch something else. And, oh, you took the diversion that was sports news, information, and updates and turned it into a very high, like an agitated, you know, far to one side or the other opinion piece. Like, that's not what I'm here for. I just want the news.
Yeah, see, I think the perfect version of SportsCenter is now the one they do at night with Van Pelt, where it's like, okay, he'll give his takes, but he does it in a certain area of the show. And
great,
they'll do like that Bad Beats thing. They'll do interviews, but they'll do the highlights as well. So it's a mix of all of it, not just an opinion show throughout the whole thing. That's what PTI is for. That's what Around the Horn is for, okay?
Randy Scott also does a great job, too, by the way.
Wasn't he at Nesson for a while?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a local kid.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he's done a great job.
Yeah, he does it. He's on at noon a lot. 617-779-7937. The number. Let's get to Ryan in Manchester. Ryan, what's up, man?
Hey guys, it's kind of sad. You know, she is like a lot of people, and it's as simple as this to me is that she hates Trump more than she loves her country, and she'd rather see this country crash and burn than what she sees. And it's, you know, sanctimonious. She's a millionaire, and the only thing I could think that she would do this is just like it being a troll. You know, she wants to be in the public eye as much as possible, and unless she's really that sanctimonious, it's just, I don't know what her intentions are. But a couple other random thoughts. I've been watching a lot of 80s hoops, and man, the game was good back then, but I feel like the game is just so much better now, like the style of play. I mean, obviously, there's going to be people that are going to play and would be better in this era. But I feel like the product and the athletes are better today than they were back in the 80s and the 90s. Just my personal opinion from watching some of the games. But I want to talk a little about the patch. You guys still want to talk about that at all?
Sure. Go ahead.
If
anytime.
We're here, man, if it's a day that ends in AY, I'll talk patch.
Yeah, actually, no, we're not talking any patch.
Yeah, so this has been my take since, you know, since I thought you go back and watch and see Brady leaving a year ago, when you go back and look at it, that the Pats are going to tank next year. I feel like people that don't think that's going to happen, I'm not really sure what moves you're seeing that don't lead you to believe that. Belichick has exposed and manipulated every single rule, even when they came back to bite him in the butt against Tennessee with that punt thing and before a timeout. You know, the NBA's had to address this through the lottery, but there's a direct path for you to get the number one pick next year. And Miami should have done that last year. And I don't know what they were doing. And I can trust Belichick to do it the correct way and just get the number one pick and be reloaded with that kid from Clemson for the next 15 years. I don't know what move you're seeing that makes you think they want to compete next year. That's just my personal thing. It just seems obvious to me. We've had 20 years of success for 1 year to be awful, to just be right back there.
Well, Ryan, although you could say, well, Belichick goes back on his word every now and again, because years ago he said he didn't want to be like Marv Levy coaching into his 70s, and here he is on the doorstep of 70, still with his coaching fastball, looking to go nowhere anytime soon because, A, he definitely wants to pass Don Shula at 348 for the most wins of all time as a head coach, and, B, he likely wants to set up Steve and put the Belichick lineage in place to coach the team in the future and carry on the tradition that he and Kraft and Tom Brady have set up. Now, that said, it's just not in his DNA to tank. Now, they went 5-11 that first season with Bledsoe back in 2000, and I could see them maybe having a similar kind of season where they need to get their footing back under them. But there's too much talent, especially on the defensive side of the ball. There's too much leadership, and the coaching hierarchy there, he and McDaniels and Mayo and everything that Ernie Adams contributes from high atop his mysterious blimp or his box up top the stadium, they're just too smart. There are other teams with better rosters in the division, but I just can't see the Patriots punting on a season, even when staring down the prospect of a potentially 15-to-20-year starter like Trevor Lawrence, who's an absolute stud.
So here's my argument to that. Belichick's an evil genius, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The moves they've made, I don't know where you're seeing too much talent on the roster. Three of their linebackers who were on the Stars last year, they had made no intention to even sign them. So Steve Belichick's your next head coach, 100%. If he can set up little Stevie with the next franchise quarterback, I don't understand why you think that he wouldn't make that rule. You think he's got so much pride that he can't manipulate the system next year to give Stevie Belichick Trevor Lawrence for the next 15 years and just go upstairs and pull the strings from up there? Mediocrity is not where you want to be in the NFL. You need a quarterback. That's why I don't understand why we haven't had a tanking problem in the NFL, because the one thing you've got to have is a quarterback. And the guy who's the best prospect since Peyton Manning is out there. You just got to tank the right way, and I trust Belichick to get that done.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Ryan, and I appreciate the thought. If you want to grab his line, it's open at 617-779-7937. I just don't believe they're going to be one of the worst, even three teams in the NFL. I just don't see that in what the Patriots are right now. And the other thing is this. You may not have to be one of the worst three teams in the NFL to get the number to be able to get the quarterback next year. You could probably trade up because a lot of these teams that are going to suck next year are teams that have already drafted their guy. They've already drafted their quarterback that's going to be there for the foreseeable future. So you may not even have to do that. And if you look at this division, I get it that the Buffalo Bills are a good team. The Jets suck and the Miami Dolphins suck. So the Patriots are just as talented as most of those teams outside maybe the Buffalo Bills in terms of the high-end talent with the skill position players. I just don't see a world that Belichick is going to go into games and purposely lose. I just don't see how that's possible.
Well, I think Buffalo is the most talented team in the division. I think they probably have the best roster at this point.
Yeah,
I don't think the Jets are very good and they hate their coach. And they're going to be, even though for some reason Belichick and Gase like each other and have this weird mutual respect.
Maybe he just put that out there so another team in the division would hire Gase. So it's kind of like keep him in the division.
So he's friends with him and hangs out with him at the combine just to make him think like, oh, everything's fine.
Yeah, hire this guy and then we can just continue beating him.
Vintage evil genius rope-a-dope move by Belichick. I don't think Miami sucks. And I think, as a matter of fact, with the pickups they made from the Patriots as they try to go further into Patriots full south, Brian Flores has that team set up to be competitive every week. If they get their quarterback, considering the way they came in and shocked the Pats in week 17 here and altered the playoff position and then ultimately Tom Brady's history with the Patriots, would that come from behind win? I don't know. I don't think they're that bad. I just think the Pats are going to be, I don't see them getting blown out. I don't see the Patriots just being a speed bump on other teams' effort or, you know, other teams' way to the playoffs this season. Because, again, they're going to find a way to stay in these games.
Yeah, and my whole thing, I wouldn't mind them, honestly, based on all the success they've had for the past 20 years, I wouldn't mind them being 1-15 and getting the number one pick so you can get Trevor Lawrence. Obviously, that'd be great. I just don't see it happening with Bill Belichick as the coach of the
team. Never,
all right,
never.
A lot more to get into. Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you for the next 2 hours or so. The number is 617-779-7937. Ben Volen from the Boston Globe will join us at 2 o'clock. You're listening to WEEI.
93.7 FM, WEEI.
All right, Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you. The number is 617-779-7937. Ben Volen of the Boston Globe is going to join us at about 10 minutes from now. He had an article up this week about the possibility of the Pats trading up to get Tua Tagovailoa. The other thing I'd mention real quickly, too, about...
Nice job getting that name down, by the way. There's a million Tua? Different ways. Tua, everyone, I just stop at Tua because I know I'm going to end up butchering the name and I don't want to do the man any disrespect.
I guess I could just say Tua because he's a one-name guy. It's
there's no
like
one
LeBron.
Else ever named Tua. There's and no one else that's going to be named Tua.
I don't know a Tua, so other than this Tua, and I don't know him personally. But the other thing I'd mention real quickly, too, is we were talking in the last segment about what moves did they make to tell you they're trying to win now. The problem was the way the salary cap was basically on the Patriots because of the dead money with Brady and some of the other contracts they had.
Brown.
Yeah, it wasn't like they could really go out there and make additional moves to add to the team. Now, they did bring back Devin McCourty. Mm-hmm. If you were trying to go 0-16 or 1-15, why would you bring back one of the better safeties in the NFL who's coming off one of his best seasons last year?
If you wanted to go 1-15 or do what the Dolphins did last season, stay competitive, don't lose the locker room. Now, they won five games, and obviously that's because Brian Flores thought if he really went for a 2-14 or the total fish tank of 0-16, he would have lost the locker room. That's why he ditched Rosen and stuck with Ryan Fitzpatrick, and now they're picking fifth, and they're in line to be able to allegedly go after Tua if that's the guy that they want to get. If Belichick wanted to go 0-16, 1-15, 2-14, 3-13, and we all just decided to punt on the season, watch Tom down in Tampa, and then dream of 2021 with Trevor Lawrence, then you would go get a first-round pick in 2021 for Stephon Gilmore, the same way Miami got a first last year for Minkah Fitzpatrick, who's been a beast with Pittsburgh ever since he left town. You'd trade the running backs. You would trade. Who else would get value on the team? You don't re-sign McCourty. You keep the younger cornerbacks.
Well, Gilmore, you get a lot.
That's what
for.
I'm saying. You get a first for. You could probably get a first for Gilmore because he's at peak value right now,
for sure. Ramsey got two first rounders.
Sure,
Gilmore's better last year.
You tell Tampa, give me a third or a fourth for Edelman, just because Bubs is going to want to go play with Brady, and then you stock up, and then you run the draft in 2021 when they also happen to have $90 to $100 million in salary cap space this year. The Pats are hamstrung. They've got all that extra money from Brady and Antonio Brown and a couple other expiring deals. Of course they would have loved to have gone out and gotten Austin Hooper. Of course they would have loved to have made more moves. But right now, they sit at under $1 million in salary cap room.
Yeah.
And they're obviously going to have to make some more restructures or tough cuts in the coming weeks to be able to sign their draft picks, let alone get anybody else.
And Fitzy, the other thing about Belichick is I would have to assume that in terms of if he actually does think highly of Stidham, and we don't really know what they think of Stidham, but we do know they drafted him in the fourth round.
I've heard they like him. I like him a lot.
Okay, that makes even more sense. If you heard they like him, then think about this. If you're Belichick, you're trying to get an assessment of the player, whether or not you can build with this guy going forward or if you're going to have to go back into the draft and get another young quarterback. If you're going to get that evaluation of Stidham, trading Edelman, which I know has been put out there a lot, would that make sense to getting an accurate judgment on what Stidham is? Because if you want to get the best evaluation of the player, you're going to need some weapons around. Remember, we were complaining all year last year about Brady not having weapons. I could see them going into the season with Edelman. Now, I think he could get unhappy if things aren't going well for the Patriots since he's used to competing at a high level. But maybe then if you really were at the point where Edelman was upset, you could do that somewhere down the road at the deadline, but I would think you would at least want to start the season.
You could gift him to a competitor, yeah.
He's the only guy you know coming into the 2020 season that can produce at the NFL level in terms of receivers.
I find your lack of faith in Jacoby Myers disturbing.
I'm not saying he can't. I'm just saying the only guarantee is Edelman. I know James White out of the backfield, but I'm talking about receiving entities. The only guy is Edelman.
Absolutely. Now, do I think that N'Keal Harry and Jacoby Myers will surprisingly take a little bit of a step forward this year because they had a chance to work with Stidham last year and they're all going to be committed together in whatever they're allowed to do? I don't think we're going to have OTAs necessarily, but I think they're all going to be working together in lockstep. That's great. Keeping Edelman should be a max priority. McCourty, Slater runs the special teams. That's the soul. That's the voice of the locker room. McCourty is the defensive coordinator on the field, the defensive captain. Between he and Hightower, they are integral to making sure they have a solid defense and they keep a quality locker room. And then on top of it, Edelman absolutely getting open so Stidham has someone to look to. I think Edelman would almost want to see this as a challenge. The same way that McCourty said when he was on with us a week and a half ago, he relishes the challenge. He loves that they're being counted out. Go ahead, write the Patriots off now. They said, you know, we'll see what's up next fall. As much as Edelman will miss playing with Tom, this is a challenge now. He gets to help groom this new quarterback and be the face of the offense. I think he takes the challenge.
He certainly could, and I would think that if you're Belichick, you'd like to see this through and see what Stidham has, and Edelman obviously helps that. And to your point about N'Keal Harry, I mentioned this last week, is last year, if you look at him, he played in 7 games, okay, right? Mm-hmm. He played in 7 games,
yep.
And if you think about it, the quarterback wasn't invested in it. And this isn't an indictment on Brady, but he wasn't invested in him because he didn't know if he was going to be here after next year, and he knew that they had to win this year. And if N'Keal Harry wasn't on the same page with him, he's going to say, okay, whatever, no big deal. So, and he was taken in the first round. I could certainly see him turning his career around. Everybody points out, like, that's a missed draft pick. We don't know yet. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Peter in Jamaica Plain. What's up, Peter?
I'm excited about next year, if we have a next year in the football. I just want to mention one thing real quick. My wife made 50 masks on her sewing machine in the last 2 days for all our friends and neighbors. And a lot of people can do it. She did it off a website. I mean, she's a magician, but...
What's the website, Peter?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I've never visited. I don't know. Is that a popular site or is that like an Etsy blog?
No. She just went to a site that says, to make masks.
Yeah, you know, that's great. I'm glad you're excited about next season because, believe it or not, I am too. And I think more Pats fans than not or that would let on are. But to your point about what your wife just did, thank your wife on our behalf. And thank you for mentioning that in the time that you get in this call, Peter, because that should highlight how easy it is or how accessible doing something like that for the greater good is for people that are wondering right now, how can I help out in the middle of a crisis?
Yeah. Can I tell you why, real quick, why I'm excited about next season?
Hell yeah, man. Mike's yours.
Okay. To me, you know, I'm a Stidham fan. So hopefully what would really, really interest me would be Stidham and Belichick versus Tom Brady with a bunch of weapons at Tampa Bay. And I can root for both. I can root for the Patriots, and I can root for Tom Brady. So that's what excites me. I'm going to be a Patriots fan. These people that say they're just going to root for Tom Brady and not be Patriots fans anymore, and they're not Patriots fans. But that's what excites me about next year.
I love it.
Appreciate the call, Peter.
Thanks again to your wife, Peter. That's great work she's doing, and I'd love to hear. Anyone else has a good story like that they want to share, the lines are open for you. I like this look. I like this outlook of, hey, look, I've loved Tom Brady for 20 years. I love what he's done for us. So, yeah, I'm going to naturally watch those games. They're going to rate really high. I'll cheer for him, except when he plays the Pats in 2021. But this is your team. And like Peter said, if you're saying that you're going to root against the Patriots or that you're going to bail on this team because Tom's gone and that's the end of it all, then were you really that much of a Pats fan in the first place, or were you more of a Tom Brady fan?
It's a fair point, or you're just bitter at how things ended and you wanted to give him the lifetime achievement contract and all that. But you made the ruling last week on the show that if you leave and you become a Buccaneers fan, you can't come back.
No.
If you go with Tom, you can't come back. Now, you can root for Tom, but you're saying if you put the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom above the Patriots, we don't want you back, right?
No, if you're going to bail on the Patriots now because you're mad about that and you're not going to be, you're not going to win them with Stidham, don't come back. Don't come back. Don't fair weather us. You know, the fan wagon is more than happy to shake that dead weight off. Get your Brady Buccaneers jersey, you know, take your talents down to Clearwater Beach and be gone with you, because there were tough times well before Tom Brady. There may be tough times again after Tom Brady, but a real Pats fan doesn't bail just because things got a little weird.
Were you surprised that the house that warm weather Tom picked out so small?
Yeah, I
that
know.
That thing is huge. That thing
how is he
going
to make do? Does it have to be Jeter's mansion too? I mean, just to gross it up a little bit more. This was my main point, though. It's 32,000 square feet with two boat slips. It's on the water. It only has seven bedrooms. It's got more bathrooms than bedrooms. I mean, not that they need more than seven bedrooms, but what do you think? I think I heard something along the lines of it might be renting for like $75,000 a month.
Oof. It's a beautiful home.
Hey, listen, pocket change when you just got $25 million all guaranteed in an income tax-free state.
It's pretty incredible. So Brady's in Tampa Bay. Who's going to be the next quarterback of the Patriots? Ben Volen suggested in the Globe this week that the Patriots could trade up, maybe go after Tua Tagovailoa out of Alabama. Is that possible? We'll ask Ben that question in just a couple of minutes when he joins us right here on WEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.